here at the Old City Swans.
Welcome back to A Bevy of Bloods, a fan podcast of the Sydney Swans Football Club.
So to all you loyal Swans out there, just can't get enough of the red and the white.
Fluff up your tail feathers and settle in for a potentially biased yarn about all things to do with our beloved Bloods.
G'day there, Cygnets and Swanlings. Welcome back to A Bevy of Bloods. You're joined, as always, by the boys from Sydney. I'm Chris, and this is Noddy.
That's right, you lucky loyal Swans fans. In this episode, we're going to be chatting about the huge win against the Bombers. And remember, if you like our stuff, make sure to give us a follow. All right, let's kick things off with a quick game recap.
All right, Noddy. Look, last Saturday night, in front of 35,000 fans at the SCG, which we were a few of them, our Sydney Swans defeated the Bombers by 30 points with a final score of 19-17-131 to 15-11-101. Mate, it was a genuinely tense affair at the game. Tell me, Noddy, what did you see? What did you feel? Tell me all about it.
I mean, just that, mate. Obviously, you know, there's this really cool rivalry that's developed between us and the Bombers. When I say cool, I mean it's like very stressful. Seven of the last eight, 10 points or less, apart from obviously this one now. But this one also looked like it was going to go down to the wire again. But thankfully, we pulled away and had a good win in the end. But it was just a tense game, wasn't it? It was just full of feeling, full of edge.
Edge. Well, I mean, I'm not sure what edge is. I mean,
I knew what it was, yeah. But now I'm not so sure.
I don't know. I mean, I'm glad that someone brought it up 1,000 times in the media up until today. And yeah, maybe someone can define it for me because I'm still trying to work it out. I think Papley had a crack at it and no one enjoyed his interpretation. But, you know, the edge is the edge. I thought this whole time they were talking about you too. I was on my way to the ground listening to Sunday Bloody Sunday, you too, thinking they were talking about the guitarist, The Edge. Turns out Brad Scott's talking about football. I don't know. Keep up.
I'll tell you what. Like, I brought my mate Jimmy from Canberra. It was his first AFL game ever, right? Rusted on Brummies fan. But after a night like that, I mean, he was on the edge of his seat. He is a Bloods fan now. Yeah, I think there's another edge there. We'll get that in there. How about you, mate?
Yeah, well, pretty good. I mean, I actually had Nadia, our Finnish friend. So Steve-O, who is obviously one of the OGs of Bevy of Bloods, who did all the AFLW ones of most recent. His best mate, Nadia, is actually living across the road from me, and we took her to her first footy game, which, as it turns out, your mate Jimmy introduced another classic AFL moment or footy moment.
Yeah,
spilling like what seemed like a carton of beer down,
like
her back.
Half a beer on her back. Yeah, like, yeah, that nice. Was, yeah, he was already on the edge of his seat, and that could have been a little bit of interplay between my bro and Jimmy. We're not sure. Point is, Nadia was covered in beer, while we felt bad, we were trying to embrace the culture of it. Like, oh, you got your first beer spilled on you. Oh, welcome. Yeah, we were really just glossing over the fact we felt bad that we drenched her. But
the thing is, she would have taken us both out too. I'm pretty sure she does kickboxing, but
she's got edge, mate.
She's good. She has edge. Of anyone who's got edge on that field, she absolutely has the edge. We also had another guy, Jared, down from Melbourne, up from Melbourne, actually came over to us and sat with us too. So, hey, Jared, it was awesome to catch up with you and watch the game with us. But full crowd, everyone was on full tilt after. Okay. Noddy, over to you. What do you think we should talk about first? What's been the main talking point that's taken away from this in the AFL media, you think?
Well, okay. I'm just going to do a little point on the game, and then we're going to go into the key talking point.
Okay.
As we've touched on, a seesawing contest, multiple lead changes. We've pulled away and we've managed to get a pretty good win in the end, right, by 30 points for our third straight victory. Mm-hmm. But rather than celebrating a close game and us getting the chocolates
and the success that the Swans are currently having anyway, but let's talk
exactly
about something else.
It's all about Peter Wright's hit on Cunningham.
Yeah.
Would you agree? I mean, it's not all about that, but that was a huge talking point.
It's almost exclusively talking about his reaction to the edge and how he defined it himself.
Yeah.
So we've learnt that he's been given 4 weeks. Now, it's been classified as careless conduct, severe impact, and high contact. Now, I'm going to go through each one of those, Noddy, and you tell me whether there's any question marks on any one of those three categorizations. Careless conduct, go. Did you feel anything that's a question mark around that?
I think if this, like, just in general, was he careless? Yeah, I mean, it's hard, right? Split second moment. It's hard to put. But the point is, you know, I think if you're going for the mark or you're spoiling it, your arms are out. You're not. I don't know, mate. Like, careless. It's careless under the new interpretation, right? That they continue to tighten it up. So, yeah, I guess so.
I agree with you there. I think that's the only one that you have a bit of a question mark. I think severe impact, not a question at all.
Tick.
And high contact, no tick. Question at all. Like tick, tick. The one that I would throw a, you know, what do you call it? Extend an olive branch out to the Bombers fans that are the three of them that are listening to this podcast is getting angry at us for mentioning the edge one too many times. But Kelly's conduct is probably the one that I'd put a touch of a question mark over. But I think the way that it's adjudicated is perfectly fine and kind of I think what everyone expected to happen as well.
I mean, look, we in the game, like we're talking to everyone around us, right? And, you know, we're in New South Wales, you know, we're competing with the NRL and to a lesser extent these days rugby union. But when someone does something truly shocking like that and KOs someone, they're usually sent off, right? Sin bin. Yeah. It can be 10 minutes. It can be the whole game depending on your code, right? And so this talk has sprung up again in you know, Aussie rules circles. And there are some proponents, there's some really famous people who are saying, yes, we definitely need this. Others are saying, you know, let's wait and see. I mean, this goes back to that careless conduct. It basically depends on your view of footy. And like, you know, there's old school footy heads like
that's a good
know,
point,
Wayne,
yeah.
Wayne Carey, if he's still a thing, no, saying, oh, what's happening to our game? It's like, I don't know, mate. I think you've been in the woods for a while.
I mean, Carey's not been kind of relevant for a long time.
I think
he even threatened that he's going to not watch any more football if Peter Wright copped anything. We're like, good, mate. We don't need to hear from you. Anyway.
So it depends if you're of the school of thought that, you know, you should be able to contest but also have the right to protect yourself. And then, therefore, that's what they think has happened here. He had eyes on the footy and at the last moment thought he wasn't going to get it, so he covered himself up. But, like, I don't know. He's a pretty big unit, right? And Cunningham's one of our smallest. And I guess he just doesn't have that much edge if he needs to protect himself against a smaller. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, no. I'm with you. The point's there. I think where I stand, I'm happy with the way it's adjudicated. I think that's fair. I'm actually kind of surprised 4 weeks, to be fair, even with that adjudication. I genuinely would have thought with that categorization of those three, it would have been more for some reason. I feel that others have taken more weeks. But given what's happened to Maynard and Brayshaw in that altercation there, and now that Brayshaw is now literally has to retire from football because of all the concussions he's had and that one being the last catalyst of it, I think it's about where the game is, and I'm not surprised, and I think it's fair. So
I guess I kind of view it as, you know, it's a 2 week window for concussion protocols, and then I see it as like an additional 2 weeks to stop people doing this, to stop players doing this. So you're out for as long as the player that you put out is out, plus it's like an additional penalty to sort of stop players. Yep. Doing this, but that's just my layman's take on it. Yep. But I don't know, mate. Like let's talk about edge, mate. We haven't touched on it yet.
So
there was a bit more edge. Wright wasn't the only one with edge tonight, was he?
On the night, I mean, you had a fair bit going on. It was a pretty tight game. And I think I kind of felt this was going to happen anyway, given that, you know, Brad Scott's walking in here, you know, him and his brother running around just causing absolute ruckus and being just thugs, to be fair, back in their days.
Salty McEdge.
Salty Mac B grade edge. So I wasn't surprised that they were going to come up firing, especially after, you know, Parker, given a bit of a bit of juice over to the Bombers, I think the last time we played them, perhaps, or maybe second last time we played them. So I kind of felt that this something like this was going to come. I didn't realize that they were going to name it Edge and then not define it. Granted,
it's alliteration, right?
It's like poetry. Do what you want with it. but
Tullamarine Terrors. Like, it's get a pen out and start. You move over, Bill Shakespeare. Like, it's. I watched the press conference with Scott after the game, and clearly they're a club steeped in history, one of the most successful ever, but they got whacked with the drug thing, and I think they're still recovering. They're trying to understand what their psyche is, and so they've brought in, you know, an amazing coach, question mark, and to try and reinvigorate and make them stand for something. But, I mean, really, they're just kind of like the villains of a Mighty Ducks film right now. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're just like coming in and bashing people and not really – you know, Scott justified it by saying, you know, we know that the Swans are athletic, they've got precision kicking, so we had to like meet them in the contest. And so we just thought we'd bring the pressure in the contest, but obviously we were good enough to break away. But, you know, I think there's heart at the footy. There's you know, like we're lucky that we have a genetic, like our club is blessed with this inbuilt culture that personifies hard footy. And other clubs, you know, they're jealous of that. And I see that's what this is. It's like a lame attempt at like creating a slogan to mean something, to stand for something. And if it catches on, it catches on. But at what I saw was just like dog acts, basically.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, there was some pretty ordinary like hits, and what was that one with I forgot
Draper
his name.
On Lloyd. Draper on Lloyd. That Draper was on Lloyd, way worse than Wright, but yeah. Lloyd was fine.
Yeah, and I almost felt like Lloyd was kind of felt it coming as well. The guy's got eyes in the back of his head, being a defender for as long as he has been.
It was like,
right?
A WWE move. Draper. Yeah. So I shouted this one out to you guys in the group. There was like multiple bounces that like went outside the center circle. Yeah. One of them was like a meter and a half out. Draper jumped. Grundy had stopped. Everyone had stopped. Draper jumped and then continued to like spike, like punch the ball down to at Heaney. I'm like, yeah, right. It's just uncalled for. Dog. Just shit like that. And then, of course, Hind with his elbow at Warner at the end of the game, right, is the other one, other big one. But, like, there was a lot of argy-bargy and, you know, it was a lot of
– It was a fair bit to it. But, I mean, one thing I got to say about our kids, and a lot of them are kids, they're pretty hard, man. Like, they don't get rattled by much. And I think, I mean, aside from a grand final that they've been in at such a young age, it's kind of really, like, built them to a certain tolerance of the pressure and the heat that might have been there as well. But then you look at some of the younger guys, like, you know, Roberts and things, and you know, and like Braden, they kind of revel in that kind of stuff. They love it. So I, like, to your point, the Bloods footy is a particular style of footy. It's hard running, it's hard at it. It's embedded in the culture of the game, in the women's, in the men's, across the board. So if Essendon's trying to find it by, you know, calling it edge and then not defining it and then leaving everyone up to their own interpretation of it, then so be it. If that's what they want to do, then so be it. Good luck to yous, because that's something that's not just a one gamer, right? That's something you need to keep as a culture. That's something that's an everyday week thing. Training, outside of training, pre-games, post-games, post-season, the whole kit, it's all happening. So that's good right. luck, Brad Scott. Let's see how you end up, mate. But for now, hey, I think we have to get stuck into the game a bit.
Here's the definition. According to Scott, it means a level of competitiveness that all good teams have got. Fierce competitors at the contest, and we did that for most of the game.
Okay, so hang on. So Brad Scott's defining it to be what AFL standard is. Is that what it's literally his response to this? Is like, what is the edge? The edge is to turn up to an AFL game and be relatively decent at it.
And you're like, the edge is nice make one. It onto a list and then don't get completely humiliated.
Yeah, that's his. Look, hey, enjoy 10th to 12th this year. I don't know what to say.
Oh, look, honestly, if they bring that.
They're going to rattle some teams.
Yeah, I think they will.
Yeah. I mean, we're having some fun with it, but they're not bad, man. Like, they'll do some damage. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right, mate.
All right. Well, let's get stuck into a bit more. All right, mate. We've been banging on about whatever the edge is. We're still not sure, but we'll get there. Anything else you saw about the game? Any key stats? Any big moments that you had in mind?
Oh, look, I think it was and you go to Horse in the presser and he says, you know, our second half was way better than our first half, and the reason for that was our pressure. And I think you've written it up as well. You know, 23 one percenters, so mm-hmm. we got 56, they got 33, and the overall pressure factor was, you know, 183 and they were 168. So that was across the entirety of the game. But at one point, I think our pressure factor in the back line was like 200 and it was like 2 billion or something. It was
off the charts.
It was off the charts.
Off the charts.
Just the pressure was through the roof. Yep. And you could kind of see that. And that was the point. Like our D was once again set up so well, like Melly and McCartan, you know, right. And Rampy, he's doing his things just under the radar, right? But the structure there, and then allowing, you know, Roberts and Blakey, you know, and Ollie, and Lloyd, yeah. and Ollie when he was there, just to sort of launch us, you know. And that's the other thing, the D50 launches and scoring, scores from D chains, right? So, look, I don't know. It was just really another really pleasing effort, and I think it's built off the back of that pressure, Blood's footy. Tackling and the defensive structure, because I don't know, it was good. What do you think, mate?
I mean I agree with that. I kind of saw a fair, like, when we started matching them with the pressure, like at the beginning it was quite high intensity, there was a fair bit going on, you saw the guys kind of get, you know, trying to, like, the Swans kind of get their head wrapped around the style of game, and it started transitioning. And then what happened to Cunningham, and that put an enormous hole into that back line of, you know, structure. You know, like Lloydie, McCartan, Rampy, those guys kind of, and Blakey, those guys have been playing with each other for such a long time. It felt to me like it really threw out the structure a fair amount. Mm. And it took us a little while to kind of find it again. And I know we brought in Corey Warner, but he went up forward. Mm. And you had guys like, you know, some of the wingers to kind of roll up a bit more defensively.
Yeah. As you said, Campbell and McInerney.
Yeah, exactly. And I think they did quite a good job of it in time. So, but also the advantages of having, maybe this is a look into the future, but also some of the advantage of having such sharp ball users in that same defensive position, like helps us do those big rebounds and just launching off the rebound off the 50. And I mean, there's some pretty arsy moments. I mean, let's be fair. The one that Heaney just booted the ball off the ground to get it out of our defensive 50, lands in the lap of Papley, who then just punts it up forward. And is it Logan that's sitting there waiting?
Yeah.
And then scores from the back of that. So, I mean, we were just getting it out with any intent, but, you know, further up the line, we still got those skillful users to use it. So,
but that's right. That's right. I think that's a good point. So with that solid defensive structure that we're able to rebound out of, and then taking it forward with precision through the midfield with all our amazing ball unit users, right? What do we got here? I got here going into forward 50, 19 forward 50 marks and scoring 72 points from those marks.
That's nuts. Yeah.
So the pressure and the pressure acts and the one percenters and all that, and then rebounding and then slicing our way through the midfield and then being super efficient scoring 72 points from 19 forward 50 marks. That's crazy. And I think it was more evident in the first quarter that we were losing the clearances, and that probably carried over to the second quarter a bit. But I mean, that, you know, it was Goldie and Draper, the dog, versus Grundy basically. Yeah. With Doss chopping in, but like as a chop out, sorry. But and then look, they had more clearances, right? But you know, what was it? We had 33 points from center clearances, and that's
that was defensive effort. I kind of felt like our defense was amazing, like to wrap it up. I mean, right off the bat, we saw it, like it went straight out of a clearance, straight to someone's hands, and then scores. And the second time around, did the same thing. I was like, Jesus. Mm. But I mean, Brody had a really good game.
Just solid.
It's just solid. Like his work off the ball and once the ball's hit the ground, his second efforts are just phenomenal.
Mm.
And you can
see. It has that tap to Hayward. that,
yes.
that kick from Gordon in, and it was a bit of a bump ball, and then he had the skills to sort of collect it and then pass it on to Haywood, who got an awesome general play goal, and that was his third for the game.
I mean,
Wilbur had a good game as well.
Wilbur had a great game. Wilbur, I mean, we did say it last. I think last week we made a big mention of it. I think it was like his last year of the season. Of his contract. We are expecting him to have a big season, and he's not disappointing. Like, but it's his work rate to get to the ball was insane. Like you see him, like for that first goal that he snapped it out from that pocket. He was gassed. He was still collecting himself about 2 minutes after kicking the goal. Like he worked so hard to get to do as many runs as he can, as many sprints as he could to get in that position. And then the polish to kick that goal, man. Like,
and who fed him that, mate? That was Matty Roberts. What a beautiful ball in, right?
Matty
already
Roberts is so
composed, already just looking like, you know, a kind of a rock, right? Look, he's still young, he's still 20, but you know, it's just a cool, calm head back there, isn't it? Another one, and it's good to see.
I mean, let's say that one more time. He's 20 years old.
Yeah, 21 in July,
like,
I think. But
I mean, like, it's nuts. Like, we've gotten so many good young talent, so much good young talent. I'll eventually learn how to speak English good one day, but
good,
the goodness. But yeah, Matty Roberts is just. Wild. So we can't
the tools. The tools, mate, I was pretty happy with. Hayden 2, Amadi 2, and Logan 1. But I thought they all presented well. I thought they ran hard. It gave us, I think we had like 10 individual goal scorers, right? And so that shows that we're not, you know, we've got all these different options, and it just adds to the danger of our approach. And I mean, there were so many moments in the game that were just like highlights reel. I don't know, like we've mentioned some of them already, but like there's one, this is one of these, this example, right? Melikan and McCartan, I think this was in, I can't remember which quarter. Melikan, McCartan spoil, Lloyd gathers, handballs to Campbell, he handballs to Jordan, kicks to Papley, kicks to Warner, who does one of his like silky smooth cutbacks, kicks to Wicks on the wing, Wicks kicks to Heaney, set shot on goal. And that's from like, you know, back pocket to maybe 30, 35 metres out in front of goal. Like, I mean, there were multiple examples of that. I mean, Errol Goulden, how many times did he run that back line? Unbelievable. Yeah. His gut running is just like, just bonkers, isn't it?
He sprinted 120 metres to make that thing happen.
Yeah.
Changing direction twice over and then having to nail two perfectly weighted kicks to do it.
Yeah.
Like, every part of that was incredible. One of my favorite ones, I don't know if you remember, Melikan, he went out to contest like a ball out, kind of like in the back pocket wing kind of area.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he got it down the ground, run like buggery to go get it, tapped it up with his foot to catch it.
Yeah.
Oh, no, sorry, kicked it forward, caught up with it before he got over the line because that would have been like deliberate. And then he runs around, wheels himself over and just nails a kick on the 50, I think to Logan from memory. Like, and that resulted in that Haywood goal.
Yeah.
Like this guy, I mean, across the ground, the work ethic and the run is there. And
everyone,
it's really coming through. Everyone.
Heaney, Goulden, Papley, Warner, Juzzy, it's all looking very, very good, isn't it?
And to your point, and you've raised it, I think, at the beginning of the season during the preseason chat as well, it's the multiple avenues to goal was a big factor in what you were determining whether we'd have a big season. It's the multiple goal kickers, and as you said, they're 10 for this game. So, and that's kind of following on from like the success that the Pies had last year as well. I think they had 11 goal kickers over 20 or something like that. So,
it was a lot of different. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So if we can keep striving towards that, obviously, you know, and Corey Warner, I thought he had a great game.
He
kicked three behinds. If he'd kicked three goals, he's basically locked himself in. To, you know, and I think he deserves to roll on.
Yeah.
And we'll talk a little. I think, obviously, Cunningham's out, so we're going to have to bring someone in there. But anyway.
I think we need to move on because I think we're kind of running over the time. So let's just point that out. So, all right, mate. I know we could talk about this game. I mean, do we care that we're running over time? Is the next question?
It's probably, I got nowhere to go, mate. I'm literally just thinking about Edge.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
On the edge of reality.
We made that joke already today. Oh,
yeah, we got to find a new edge joke. I've got one brewing. I might say it by the end of the episode if I remember. Okay, cool. Mate, let's go on to the Bob Medal, which
Take it away.
Yep. In our version of the Bob Skilton Medal, we give out 3-2-1 points for best on ground each game. This week, one goes to Goulden, two to Papley, and three to Heaney. All right, let's start with Heaney, mate.
Heaney, 32 disposals, best on ground, 8 clearances, best on ground, and a goal to go with it. Look, Heaney is – that's 3 weeks in a row for Heaney.
Yeah, on fire. He on is fire. Hot.
He the is heat. Winning. The heat is on fire. He's heating, heated it
scorching,
up.
Scorching, scintillating, scorching summers with Isaac Heaney. I'm just trying to – I'm rolling just off the dome here. But
is there like another word for heat on top of hot? Like, can you get hotter than heat? Heated it?
Scorching. I already said that. Yeah, heated up. Anyway, he's unbelievable, right? He's what do you got here? Leading coaches votes? I mean, he's got to be winning the Brownlow. He's got to be winning the Brownlow.
Well, he's got to be winning the Brownlow, you'd imagine, at this point, being the most consistent of the three. And I mean, let's just point out that this has arguably happened by a bit of accident with Parker and Millsy being out.
Yeah.
And we've always threatened that – we've been threatening to throw Heaney into the mix, into the middle for a long time. Well, any moment now. You watch this space. Mm. And then one day we do, and he just lights it up.
I think he's had a good preseason, right?
Yeah.
I remember when –
injury. I think last year he was carrying a couple of injuries.
Yeah, carrying an injury maybe the year before that, or it was like he was free, but we really needed him up forward, and then he was just like kicking everything. That was the year he went AA, right, as forward. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, I think it was the year before that or the year before that. We're like, no, Heaney's going to be mid this year. I think that it's been a few niggles here and there. And let's hope that, he's all good and he's not playing through pain as he often does or that horse says he does. But he just looks – it's just beautiful, isn't it?
It's polish,
just,
isn't it?
It's polish. It's power.
It's aggressiveness. It's power. It's pressure. Yeah. It's polish. Yeah. It's defensive effort. It's offensive. It's everything. Like he's the package.
He's
the
in
package.
Every line. I mean, he's getting tags now, right? So Caldwell went on to him in the second half, and look, his per quarter output dropped off marginally, but his impact didn't. So, look, I don't know. He's a clear three. Well, a deserved three, I think, in our medal at least, and then.
Followed by Papley, mate. Take it away with Papley with a two.
Oh, just impact, mate. Four goals, one. 24 disposals at 75%. 11 contested possessions. 24 disposals, almost half of them contested as a small forward. He spent most of his time up forward. I can't even remember if he had a centre bounce. Hey, I don't think we used him as a mid this game.
Good question. I'll come back to you in a couple of seconds.
But the point is, he had 10 marks, all of them uncontested. So he's loose. He's finding space. He's just. I think his score involvements were up there as well. But like, and the fact that he was, I guess leading the defense. You've already said like the halftime interview where he's giving a bit of lip, like just classic Papley shit, right? Like, the hitting us off the ball. Is this, what is this? And then after the game, giving it even more, you've got to be hard for four quarters. Just like, get into it, mate. Get into it. Get into it, mate. Show a bit of
23%
edge.
In the center bounce. So it does look like he was in there a bit, but well down to where he's been earlier in the games. I kind of pointed out that I'm like, he was playing quite a deep style of forward as well.
Yeah.
In this last game. And I'm not sure whether he's carrying an injury or just the way they want the makeup of things to happen with some of the tours.
Yeah, if he's injured and pulling these stats off, then let's hope he stays injured.
Yeah, just stay deep forward. Buddy leaves and we just replaced the deep forward with bloody Papley.
We've said that about him before, though, haven't we? He's like a leading full forward in the body of a small forward.
And then Buddy was a small forward in the body of a big forward.
Exactly. That's right.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, Papley with the 2 points, you're not going to question that. I mean, it's
Goulden.
Just superb. Goulden. Goulden with 1 point. Now, I mean, it's you watch his games, and it's like poetry, right? Mm. He's just smooth. He's tidy. He does everything so well. I mean, the less that he's spending time in the hard inside, the more I love it.
Me too.
And I think this week is another example. You give him free rein. You like just saying to him, like, you go where you want to go, because his football smarts are like elite.
Yeah,
he's half a coach already. He's already pretty much a captain. Like we all suspect he's got a year or two before he gets the captain role and then carries that on for like record amounts, like a Selwood or something.
Yeah.
But
field marshal.
Field marshal for sure. Like let him roll around and just do what he needs to do. So And I think this week was a really good example of that, where it's just like rolling in the pocket, you know, running straight through the center, causing havoc, finding himself plenty of space in the pocket to score a goal. Like, the guy can just do a bit of everything. So I'm really happy with the way his game's going. A couple of stats to back him up: 24 disposals and 30 pressure acts. Like, 30 pressure acts.
30
That's him
acts.
Knowing where the ball's going to go and then being there for it. So
two beautiful goals. Remember that goal from the running outside 50? Yeah, that whole play was just awesome. I can't remember where it was, but it was golden. Running launch 50. I feel that was the one that triggered us getting ahead. That's right. That was in the middle of the third quarter.
Yeah.
And it really sort of, it wasn't the reason, because, you know, Essendon sort of kicked back, but it gave us a little bit of a buffer. And, I think it was one of the reasons it sort of launched us towards victory. But there was a lot of other acts there that James Jordan's first goal for the club was a good one, wasn't it?
I love a good first goal for anyone, but yeah.
Yeah, on such
James
a tight,
was tidy.
Tight angle.
Yeah. Tight angle.
I get a straight edge out and measure the angle on that kick, mate. I think that's a fancy word for ruler, by the way.
Ruler.
Straight
edge. He did have two opportunities. He had the same opportunity earlier in the game.
Mm.
And I think he kicked it to Papley on the top of the goal square.
Yeah.
I think it went to ground. I don't think we got something out of that. So I'm kind of glad that he kind of reassessed himself and went, you know what, go for goal. Maybe someone the coach said to him, like, buddy, look, you're 30 meters away from goal. Like, just have that shot. You know? You're sharp enough. So,
question without notice, mate. Changing topic. this is a bit of a joke. It's a bit of a joke, but are we disappointed with Rowe if he doesn't get double digit tackles?
Like, has he even done his job?
What are you doing, Rowe?
Rowe, mate. Come on,
what
buddy.
Did he get? Nine. Yeah, it can't be. Nine best nine. On ground. So, legend. Still still smashing it.
He broke the record last year for the most tackles as a Swan. He beat Parker and Kirky's record. He's on his way to winning that again, beating his own record right now.
Yeah.
Watch this space.
Well. Yeah, I think he had 13 last week and something crazy the week
last
before.
Week. That's insane. Yeah.
I don't know. It's looking good, isn't it, mate? So, mate, so if we wrap that up there just for time and I think we've ticked off a good bunch of talk points pretty well, what does that result mean for us, mate?
Well, we're still coming in second because GWS played the Eagles, and we all know how the Eagles feel about putting a competitive side together for a couple of years.
How they feel about footy in general.
They feel about football in general. They're taking in checks, not spending any money, as it turns out. So we're coming in second. That's pretty, you've noted down here as well, GWS, they've beaten Collingwood, North Melbourne and West Coast to be leading on percentage. And let's be fair, the Swans have had a much harder attempt at it. So we're looking at the D's, of course, to win over them, Collingwood, and just Essendon this week. So I think all in all, we definitely are – we've played the harder teams and we've done the job. So let's see where we end up with the rest of the season. But the way the season's rolled up so far, if you said to me what's the best go of the season, I said 3-for-3 against three teams that were – especially Essendon and them throwing absolutely everything they had at us. I'm pretty happy with the way that things are going, mate.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's other teams that probably have marginally better averages for points for than us. Port averaging 120 now. I mean, it's so early, right? Only a bunch of so there's only like the teams that played opening round that have played three games. But yeah, just comparing us against the Giants, like clearly we've had a harder run, and we know that Essendon are going to probably be there and do pretty well this year. So to average 106 points over those three games against that opposition and only concede 78 on average is brilliant. But one of Horse's points was, he's like, oh, it's just the coach in me. They kick 15 against us.
Yeah,
so I don't think he was happy with the triple digit deficit, or the scoreline rather.
So, I feel like they couldn't miss it at one point.
Oh, the Bombers, they just do that, don't they, against us? It's just, it's either a low scoring tight affair or a high scoring tight affair. With us, it's just, remember that shootout a couple of years ago at the MCG? It was like 107 to 105 or something.
Yeah,
and it was just like, you know, it was exciting and stressful, but you'd kind of want to limit the amount of times that your opposition scores. So, yeah, so shootout. I guess that's something we can work on, even though we have the good.
They have the edge on the kicking part, right?
Yeah, that's it, mate. That's it.
Nice one. I just shoehorned it in one more time here.
That's right. I'm still building up to mine. I'll give it a go. Okay. I'll try and find the moment. But so obviously we've got Richmond next week at the G, who themselves are 14th on 0-3. I mean, that's tough. Everyone's starting to really pan the Tigers. But anyway, it's not a Tigers podcast.
I mean, they've had their time.
Exactly. Crawl back under your rock, mate.
I like Richmond. It's good food there.
Whereabouts sustained success, not just a hot little flurry and then, you know, go missing for another couple of decades. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to each their own.
Yeah, good. All right, mate. One last thing, or as we get to the end here, let's just bring that very quickly. And we're going to be very brief with this because not all the information is out there in the world. And it's, I guess we just want to make sure that we don't lean it too much and we just kind of just give it a gentle nudge to just acknowledge it. AFLW, a couple of Swans players have been caught, illicit substance, have been given a couple of bans as a result of it. There's a lot of question about why it's taken so long to come out into the media. Of course, Tom Morris, that slithering snake, is the first one to jump onto it. But I think that there's a legal precedent that needs to sit in courts for a couple of months before it comes out in the news. I think that's the reason for why we know what's going on now, where it did happen late into last year. And the two-week ban is all a question mark as to what the bans are and how the AFLW aligns to the AFL PA, the Players Association, requirements there. So there's a fair bit to kind of unravel. We're not going to be able to do it in one podcast. We're sure as I'm not going to be able to do it in this short part here, but just want to acknowledge it and accept that it's happened. More news is going to come out about it over the next few weeks, no doubt. Hopefully it is what it is. But look, as you know, the premier AFLW podcast going around for sure, we will kind of keep a track of it. And if there's something to be said about it, we will make sure we have something to say about it. But if you do want to hear and keep up to date with some of the news and information, make sure to jump onto Twitter and follow Polly, who's an insane Swans fan and also probably the premier AFLW person going around, and Zane Renner White has also been on top of it all. So leave that there.
Mate, I just want to say I heard some wanker in the elevator saying, what do you expect? It's the Swans. And I'm like, hang on a second.
Mate.
Just because our houses are so expensive doesn't mean, you know, like it's that's not our joy of choice. Yes, but I think it was Talia, wasn't it, that was potentially caught?
Michael Talia, yeah. He's caught it's a few years ago.
Yeah, but since then it's been Collingwood, isn't DeGoey, and then Bailey Smith at the Dogs.
Yeah.
And now it's Joel Smith at the Demons. Like,
wasn't it that Ginnivan as well? It's all over the shop. I mean, my two cents in it, and I'll be quick about it, is if you're a Swans fan and you're going to just, or if you're any fan, just generally, and if you're trashing young kids for making mistakes, you're going to be apologizing for a long time because young kids are going to make a lot of mistakes.
Yeah. Even older people make mistakes. Like Brad Scott. Brad Scott, who gave 1 point to Durham. He gave 1 point to Durham.
Okay. So during the coaches' vote, this is where Noddy is referring to. During the coaches' vote, we were looking at them. We're like, oh, yeah, Isaac Keeney, Tom Papley, Gordon, Zach Merritt. Personally, I think Zach Merritt deserved to be further up. He was amazing. Chad Warner. And then we see Sam Dermon. And we're like, who's that bloke?
Durham.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Polly very, I think, aptly pointed out that the Bombers have just announced a 4-year extension for Durham. So it was, she was
soft
like,
launch.
Soft launch. Soft launch. With Scott soft launching Durham, as it turns out.
Yeah.
So I make that Salty McEdge gave Heaney 5, Merritt 4, Goulden 3, Papley 2, Durham 1, while Horse gave Papley 5, Heaney 4, 3 to Goulden, 2 to Merritt, and 1 to Warner. I mean, Warner had a great game. How could you give 1 point to Durham?
I know, we haven't mentioned him, and he deserves a lot of accolades. He was fantastic.
The Chad was hot. Yeah. The Chad was cutting in and out. He cut a couple of goals late, man. But he was impactful before that.
So. As Superfan Swans fan Sam said, how can he keep doing that step where they just keep being forward? You know, like everyone's got that kind of
feet. He keeps his feet. Yeah. He doesn't. He's just so. Hu- he he works and works and works. And I think he got caught once. I think Merrick got him once in a really good tackle. But other than that, he's elusive. Yeah. He's
playing. I mean, he's got a bit of a signature move that's thing to be built out. So
maybe
Dusty had the old fend off, and Chad might have the old stomp, the old step.
That's it, mate. Yeah. The other thing we forgot to mention is there's a lot of people at the ground, not just at the footy, in the precinct. There was a heavy metal concert going on. I think it was called Knotfest. I thought it was a convention where people would go and, you know, tie knots and
sewing,
with rope and knots. But it turns out it was heavy metal, death metal type thing, and Pantera were playing. And I heard the Bombers fans got into the mosh pit after the game, caught the last act. But you know, they're in there giving it some edge, and they got fucking walloped. So
that was pretty good.
That's it, mate. That was the one I needed to get in there. I had to get it in.
I like it.
All right.
Lamb of God played. They're awesome. Anyway, well, look, that does bring us to the end of the episode. Thank you for listening through, and particularly this one. If we've been dragging off for a while, we apologize. But, hey, if you stuck around, we must have done something good. So please give us a like or follow us on any social medias of your choice. We'll be there.
And of course, as always, make sure to keep an eye out for more releases during the week, including weekly teams announcement, as well as a bunch of stuff on game day itself.
Yep. We'll look forward to whenever we see you or hear from you or get a message from you. But until next time, up the Bloods and can you sway?
Let's go.